And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
Rangers began the 2012-13 season in the fourth tier of Scottish football, scrapping it out with the likes of Annan Athletic and Elgin City. It was a brutal wake-up call after almost a century and a half at the top.
And I think Bennett Rangers fully deserve the point they've picked up. Credit to Ian Little and his players. Ali McCoy's Rangers were off their game today.
Now, you might think that it would be easy enough for a top-flight side filled with top-flight players to prevail in the lower leagues. On paper, it shouldn't even be a contest. Alas, football is not played on paper.
Inside onto Rory McAllister, lovely touch, great turn, fabulous finish.
In this episode, we head down to the fourth division and ask, why did Rangers make such hard work of an apparently easy task? What's Ali McCoist's lasting legacy? And importantly, was any of it fun? I'm your host, Ailey Barber. Welcome to Beyond the Headline, the fall and rise of Rangers.
It wasn't so much a football match you were involved in as a test of manhood.
It's just the fact that they were now playing in stadiums where a ball could feasibly get stuck in a hedge.
The phrase that was coined, these are the banter years.
Part 2. The restart.
The way that I'd been brought up in the football and sort of education, being at Kilmarnock as a youth and going out on loans to the lower leagues, being at Queen of the South and Montrose when I was younger. So I'd had a feel for these lower leagues and understood them.
This is Cammy Bell. He's a goalkeeper and he signed for Rangers in their second season of exile.
But then we had a lot of other players that had maybe been educated through the youth setup at Rangers or that came from an English setup and they were the ones that probably didn't realise what East Fife was all about, what Stranraer was all about, these boggy pitches and winds blowing a gale when we've not got, as I say, you're used to playing in stadiums that are 20,000-25,000, big stands that cover the wind a little bit. Next minute you're in elements where you've maybe only got one stand at a stadium and the wind's blowing right through, the pitch is boggy. So there's a lot of difficult challenges at face in these lower leagues, and it almost looks very easy from the outside, but as soon as you have to go to a Stranraer on a Tuesday night and it's been raining for days on end, but they want to get the game on because it's on telly and they're getting a lot of finances from it, it throws up so many sort of elements that can come against us as a team.
As one player at Rangers at that time said to me, it wasn't so much a football match you were involved in as a test of manhood.
Stuart Weir was head of sport for the Glasgow Herald at this time. He remembers it all like it was yesterday.
You had guys basically trying to tackle you around the knees and think they could get away with it because, well, that was just the way, you know, football matches were played at that level.
I was actually oddly excited because one of my good mates from home played for Annan Athletic.
This is presenter of the Totally Scottish Football Show, Andrew Slaven.
And I kind of thought, well, he's going to get to play against Rangers. In a funny way, there was a lot of teams in the fourth division that were probably excited because of the amount of support that would come down and play at that level around about four times a season. So there was a lot of money that ended up getting flooded into the lower leagues because of that amount of support. It was just a bizarre scenario, but one in a way that throughout all of it, if there was anything that Rangers had to atone for, they certainly did it by just getting stuck in and doing what they needed to do on the pitch to try and win football games and get themselves back into the top flight. And it was a really, really weird time. One that I think it was the phrase that was coined, these are the banter years.
If it wasn't for what happened to Rangers in 2012, there's a good chance that we wouldn't be having this conversation right now, because I've built what I do largely off the back of the material that Rangers provided on a regular basis for a good few years.
Meet Adam Miller, better known as Twitter's at Old Firm Facts. Rangers' rapid descent into the lower leagues and their tortured climb back out provided no shortage of entertainment, and it's allowed Adam to build a bit of a following. Of course, it all started, like any good football story, with a stuck ball.
I think everyone remembers one of the most iconic images of Rangers' sort of journey from the bottom back to the top was the, I think it was the first game, and the ball gets stuck in the hedge at Brechin. And it was it was just the perfect visual symbol of how far Rangers had fallen. You know, it was regardless of the caliber of opposition they were playing against, or the players that Rangers were forced to put out in that team. It's just the fact that they were now playing in stadiums where a ball could feasibly get stuck in a hedge.
Not that the supporters found it particularly amusing, and the novelty wore off quite quickly.
The support put a brave face on it, myself included.
Ross McAdam is a former board member of the Rangers Supporters Trust, who travelled home and away in the dark years.
And, you know, there was a hashtag on Twitter at the time of "This is fun," to kind of explain the journey, and we were going to enjoy it and embrace it. And I definitely bought into that. You know, I was looking forward to some of the trips to these away grounds, and "This is fun" quickly became "This is not much fun."
At a time of unprecedented upheaval and chaos, the club could at least rely on the presence of one of their greatest heroes. Ali McCoist joined Rangers in 1983 and swiftly won the hearts of the fans. Good looking, affable and a clinical finisher, he scored freely throughout the 80s and 90s, ending his career with a record 355 goals. A record that's unlikely to be broken. He became assistant manager to Walter Smith in 2007 and took over from him in 2011. But while he would spend his playing career at the top of the Scottish game, his managerial career would be very, very different.
I think that's something that Ali McCoist would never have wanted to have to deal with.
Hayley McQueen was the presenter of Sky Sports Scottish football coverage.
He is, of course, a legend of the club, and would have just wanted to go in there and just be a coach. He's such a fun guy with such a great personality, and is very much a manager that is a coach, as opposed to a manager that is, you know, you kind of have like a business manager. You've got different types of managers. I think he'd have just wanted to go in, have everybody else deal with the mess, and he just concentrate on the football. But unfortunately, what was happening off the pitch was, of course, affecting him as well. And I'm sure he was involved in meetings and with stuff that he probably didn't even want to have to be dealing with. And as a man who is so, you know, engrossed in the club and is very much Rangers, I think it probably hurt him as well to have to go through a lot of this, but it was just a big old mess where he was trying to just keep things together on the pitch. But again, it was just such an impossible task, even for the great Ali McCoist.
Ali was a fantastic manager.
Cammy Bell, former Rangers goalkeeper.
I think he was managing a club in probably the hardest time of their history. If people understood what he had to go through and the battles he had to face daily, people try to get him out of the club. People try to stab him in the back. When he was manager of this football club, they would understand that you've done a fantastic job. It wasn't in normal circumstances where you are a manager of a football club and you're working with your hierarchy and everyone's going in the same, pulling in the same direction and wanting the club to go forward. That wasn't happening at Rangers at that point. There was people who were self-invested and wanting to get things for themselves. They weren't particularly bothered about the football club. They were more looking after themselves, and Ali had to deal with all this, and it was really hard for him, but a great, great guy and a very, very good manager.
For me, he is one of the reasons that Rangers are back and are on the verge of being, you know, a major force to be reckoned with once again.
Emma Dodds is a presenter at Rangers TV.
Not many people would have stayed at the club in that environment under the circumstances behind the scenes. With the pressure, of course, of having to deliver success immediately, again, you look at the resources, I know it was expected, but it was such a traumatic thing that had happened to the club that, you know, that the pressure was tenfold on what it would have been in the Premier League at the time, as it was then. So Ali McCoy is a man who has Rangers very close to his heart. He has the interests of the club very close to his heart. He's, you know, he's played for the club. He's won with the club. He knows exactly what the club means to everybody associated with it. And I think if it hadn't been for Ali McCoy to steer Rangers through those particularly troubled waters, then I actually think it could have taken a lot longer to return to where they are now.
But not everyone sees McCoist's managerial period with such rose-tinted glasses. Journalist and Rangers supporter Finlay Marks doesn't remember it so fondly.
During his tenure, we kind of limped our way, I would say, up through the divisions, despite having being at times the only professional team in certain leagues. And we really didn't kick on, but the club didn't have the infrastructure, so I guess he was kind of hamstrung by that. I think the one thing I would say about Ali McCoist is that he was the perfect person at that time. As weird as it sounds, we didn't really need a football manager at the time. I think what we needed was a figurehead, and Ali McCoist is adored by the Rangers support. I think he was at times the glue that kind of held Rangers together. You know, at the time, Rangers didn't have a youth system. They didn't have a scouting department. They had absolutely nothing going into the third division. And for all of his ability or lack of ability as a football manager, I think off the park, McCoist really held and galvanised the support at times.
I think you've got to separate Ali McCoist, the player, and Ali McCoist, the manager.
Ross McAdam.
And almost actually a third one, not Ali McCoist, the personality. As I'll just talk about him as a manager, you know, it's not going to reflect well on him, that's for sure. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he hasn't been a manager since departing Rangers in 2014.
And he was talking about it recently, I think, said it was the right job at the wrong time.
Adam Miller.
It didn't go to plan for McCoist when he was the Rangers manager, and he didn't seem to be enjoying himself. And the one thing that you associate with Ali McCoist is, you know, playing the game with a smile on his face. And now as a pundit, he's still got that kind of glow about him and that enjoyment. But it wasn't really evident when he was at Rangers. And I think he was talking about how he wasn't sleeping at the time, he wasn't eating right, because every day he was waking up to another news headline. There was some other kind of charlatan or rogue who was getting involved behind the scenes at Rangers and causing trouble. And that was having a direct impact on what was going on the pitch. And there was a general air of gloom around Rangers for so much of that period when McCoist was in charge.
Not all of the players wanted to stay and start the journey from the bottom, but the ones who did will always be remembered.
It was a shame because there were quite a few players that were kind of in the prime of their career.
Finlay Marks.
So it's understandable they didn't want to wait around for 3 or 4 years to see Rangers back into the top flight. I think that was understandable. I think the players that did stay will always have a kind of special place in the hearts of Rangers fans, regardless of how good they were or what they went on to achieve during that period. I think the two that stand out to me are Lee McCulloch, who I think kind of felt that he'd made his money in football and he was getting towards the end of his career, and he just wanted to help the club transition through that period. And the other was Lee Wallace, who was the captain at the time, who stuck with the club all the way through that. And I think that, to Rangers fans, loyalty is a huge thing.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The novelty of lower league football soon wore off, though. Rangers opened their league campaign with a 4-0 thumping of East Fife, but then dropped points away at Peterhead and Berwick Rangers. Then in October, they were beaten for the first time in the bottom flight, losing 1-0 away at Stirling Albion.
So much of the football on show for Rangers at that point was just grim, and it was just a case of getting the results.
Adam Miller at Old Firm Facts.
I think Rangers fans were just ticking off the games until they could get out of those divisions, and there were a lot of players there on really good wages who, you know, could have been playing at a much higher level, and I think the assumption was that they would come down to that level on a decent wage and just stroll their way through it. But it was, I think, a badge of honour for every other team playing against Rangers to get stuck into these guys.
Ross McAdam remembers those grim first few months.
It took us till Halloween to win our first away game in Division 3. We've got guys here, you know, look, it wasn't the Rangers side that had been playing in the top flight the season before, in the sense of we'd lost a lot of good players, but we still had guys on five figures, four figures a week, playing against guys that are, you know, effectively coming in from their work and coming in to play football for 20 or 50 quid a week type thing.
There's all these rumours that players are getting paid X amount of money and huge salaries compared to the part-time players most of the time that we faced in that league. So straight away there's that.
Cammy Bell.
Everyone thinks you're an arrogant player and you've got a personality that doesn't appreciate where you are, but that wasn't the case. It was really difficult because we had a good bunch of boys, and boys that played at the SPL level for several years and been successful, and Rangers seen that as the route to getting them out of League One, basically. That was ultimately, they signed all these players, including myself, to get out of League One. And it was really challenging because, I mean, I was used to going to Tynecastle and Ibrox and Celtic Park and even Kilmarnock and the big stadiums, and you've got thousands and thousands of people there. And there's always a distance between the player and the pitch. You're never that tight, and then you end up at Stranraer, and you've got guys who can lean over and touch you when you're taking a goal kick.
But slowly, Rangers grew accustomed to their surroundings. They won every game in November and December and didn't lose again until March, when they went down 2-1 to Annan Athletic at Ibrox in front of 34,000 far from impressed supporters. The title, though, was confirmed on March the 30th with a goalless draw at Montrose, an appropriate ending to a pretty miserable season. The following season was far more straightforward. Rangers didn't drop points until a Boxing Day meeting with Stranraer. In fact, Rangers only dropped 6 points all season, scoring 106 goals in the process. But again, this was only ever what they were expected to do.
I totally understand the expectations of the Rangers fans, and when I was there at the time, I expected to win every single game. But when you were in that environment and in that place at that time, it was really difficult to win every single game. It was a real thankless task, because I remember winning a game, I can't remember who against, but 1-2-0, and we almost got grumbled, and not booed, but there was a lot of grumblings coming off the pitch, and we'd 1-2-0. But that's the expectation. They want to see, once you beat one team 8-0, they expect that every single week. And it's really difficult to do. I mean, you see Rangers nowadays, they've spent a huge amount of money, and they're a brilliant, brilliant team with massive force. And if they go to an East Fife or Stranraer, they'll not blow them away. No, they'll not. It's more difficult than it looks on paper anyways.
Nevertheless, Rangers made short work of the third tier and kicked off the 2015-16 season in the Scottish Championship, one promotion away from a return to the top flight. Unfortunately, their timing was awful. As they went up, Edinburgh's Hearts and Hibs came down. Rangers now faced a much tougher task for automatic promotion, a task that some think shouldn't have been as difficult as they made it out to be.
To go down there at the same time as Hibs and Hearts, still, in terms of the resources, I don't think Rangers should have been expected to struggle as much as they did in the Championship.
Finlay Marks.
Hearts kind of had known they were going down because they'd been docked, I think, 12 points the year before. So what they'd decided to do was to basically just play youngsters for the tail end of the season. They knew they were going down into the Championship, which meant when they hit the Championship, they already had a squad that was used to playing together, and they had some exciting younger players that were there, and they kind of, you know, steamrolled their way back up. Rangers kind of every year that they went up a division almost sold an entire first team and bought a new one in so that they could try and progress up through the levels.
I wanted to be part of this journey and this season that I knew was going to be so difficult.
Cammy Bell suffered a serious shoulder injury early in the season.
And I wanted to try and influence it and affect it. And I was in good form before I got injured as well. I was really enjoying my time. I knew it was going to be a hard season. I knew it was going to be an important season for me personally as a goalkeeper for Rangers. We had, as you say, Hearts, Hibs, Falkirk, with big, big teams in the league. So it was devastating. It was difficult to watch. And then it was really hard to watch the sort of team start to fail a little bit. The pressure build, the negativity build, the unrest in the boardroom build. And it was just, it was a hard place to be. It was the whole club was feeling this pressure from externally, internally, the whole lot. It was a real, probably a moment that I look back and go, Rangers were in a real mess then in that season.
Rangers recovered from an opening day defeat to Hearts to embark on a decent run of form through the autumn. They were keeping pace with the Edinburgh side until mid-November, when the wheels came off. They lost again to Hearts, then they lost to part-time Alloa Athletic in the League Cup. It precipitated a messy end to the reign of Ali McCoist, who was drained by 3 years of constant infighting and intolerable pressure. And after 3.5 years in charge of his club, Ali McCoist resigned.
Rangers manager Ali McCoist has tendered his resignation.
In March 2015, with their league form disintegrating, Stuart McCall was appointed interim manager until the end of the season.
I've never known the morale or the atmosphere at a club as sort of low and downbeating my entire football career.
And this is the man himself, Stuart McCall.
And there was just such a flatness, but obviously that was the new board had just got in, so there was a little bit of a lift from the supporters in a way, and I think we just needed to start sort of well and you know, get everyone up and running. But I think the biggest thing was to lift the players and the mentality and the morale.
Rangers limped into the playoffs, where they would meet Motherwell from the Premiership in the final. It didn't go well.
We barely make it to the playoffs.
Findlay Marks.
Where there's a hugely aggressive defeat over two legs to Motherwell, which ends with, you know, players fighting and pitch invasions and all sorts.
We've gone from 0-0 being on top of a game and playing quite well and not them looking no threat at all to being 3-0 down.
Stuart McCall.
Listen, the away leg, as much as, you know, people remember maybe Cammy struggling and slipping, and but I said afterwards, you know, we played Boyd and Kenny up top, but I think we went 4-4-2 because we needed to win the game by two goals. We needed to get two goals, but and even, you know, we were going at 0-0. I think we went in at half time 0-0, didn't we? Yeah, we just didn't look like scoring.
Motherwell game, obviously, again, I made a huge error in the second leg.
I went off to the left. To the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! In it goes! Misjudged by Bell! Far Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking! As Motherwell accelerate away from Rangers!
I've got crucified for it.
That's Cammy Bell. He'd worked so hard to recover from injury, and now everything was falling apart in the last game of the season.
To be honest, we knew we were up against it going into the game. We knew it was going to be really difficult to overturn that first leg. And especially when we didn't score early in the first half. We didn't score in the first half, it was 0-0. And we knew we were up against it and we were kind of going to have to try and go out there. But everyone was absolutely devastated. There was so many uncertainties. Stuart McCall was in as manager, didn't know if he was getting a job. The board was sort of changing at that point as well. There was still so much going on. There was so many uncertainties, but everyone was just devastated. We got so close, but it just didn't make it over the line.
So now that Rangers start to celebrate the culmination of a journey that took them to the very bottom of Scottish football, you might be wondering if there is any resentment from the players who took them back up to the top.
I think it was part of the journey. I honestly do. I think where Rangers started in League Two to where they are now, every single piece that's put together, every success and every failure was part of the journey. It was part of the process that needed to happen. Where they are now is not the end of the process. Of course it's not, because they've got many years of success ahead of them and European success, hopefully. Cup success. It's just the league they're taking at the moment, which is fantastic. But it, for me, it was all part of the process that needed to happen, because when Rangers were in League Two, they were in a mess. At the top, they were in a mess. And it was a huge process that there was going to be ups and downs. The fans, the most consistent thing that happened with that club from that period of time was the fans stayed with them. The fans stayed with them from the bottom all the way to the top. And that's the people for me that deserve the success that they're going to get, and the feeling that they've missed for so long. And when they get it, they're more than entitled to celebrate as much as they want and as much as they can. But I really do. I just think it was a process that needed to happen.
Stuart McCall.
Listen, no regrets about taking it. People say, oh, maybe you shouldn't have took it that time. Not at all. It was the proudest moment ever to be asked to go in and to try to help and change things around. And I think I'd say, other than the main fucking event, we did that in the way that we did change the atmosphere at the club.
Next time, Rangers would eventually return to the top flight in 2016, but they did it under a new manager, Mark Warburton. And it turned out getting back to the Premiership was a lot easier than winning the Premiership.
Absolutely, you would never resign from a club like Rangers, ever.
Pedro Caixinha brought through Alfredo Morelos. I think a lot of people forget that.
Sometimes there's a certain calibre of manager, a certain aura around someone, and he never really had that.
This is part two of four of Beyond the Headline, the fall and rise of Rangers. All four parts are available to listen to now and ad-free via the Athletic app. If you're not already a subscriber, then go to theathletic.com/beyond to claim your sign-up offer. The Fall and Rise of Rangers was produced by Abby Patterson. The episodes were written by Ian McIntosh and Nick Miller. The executive producer was Ian McIntosh.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.